the last few weeks, we have reached a series of places where you kind of go, great, that's a nice conclusion to the story, that's how it should finish, and we can move on. We had a big build-up through Lent, a big preparation for Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday comes, this great triumphal entry, great, it's all done. Jesus is now king, brilliant. Then a twist, and this big climax of his death. Oh, wow, God has died for our sins. Brilliant, right. That's the end. And then the resurrection came. Oh, another fantastic moment. Great. And now he sends them off and he says, right, get on with it. In Luke's account, which we didn't hear this year, but in Luke's account, we have these two men in white robes standing in the tomb of Jesus, saying to the disciples as they get a bit confused about the resurrection, what are you standing here waiting for? Get out and do it. You've been told, you've been trained. Go out and do it. The end of the story. Then Jesus starts to appear to his disciples. And at each appearing, it feels like this is a great conclusion. Jesus has appeared, has commissioned them again, and sends them out again. But then he appears another time and does a pretty similar thing and commissions them. And we kind of go, great, another conclusion. And again, over each of these weeks, the story feels like it should be coming to an end. When will this story ever end? And today we sort of have another ending. This conclusion of Jesus' earthly ministry amongst us human beings. He stands on the top and he goes, right, no, this is really it. I'm really going now. I wonder how the disciples felt. They've said goodbye to him before. Said goodbye to him in a very painful and difficult way, and they didn't understand. And then he died. And in that confusion, they were saying goodbye to him in their grief. And then he returns. That wasn't meant to happen. And so at each encounter, I wonder how much they were sort of saying goodbye to him. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation with a friend or a family member where you say goodbye to them and then the conversation carries on and then you say goodbye to them again. A friend and I, when we were teenagers, used to really enjoy saying goodbye to each other at a particular point, knowing that we were going to walk down the road together in the same direction. You know, like we were going to part company. We go, oh, well, it's been great to see you. We hug each other. And then we'd walk awkwardly together. And we'd love that awkward walk, walking beside each other going, well, yeah, great, good. It kind of feels, I wonder if the disciples felt like this. Oh, he doesn't mean it. I don't think he actually means it because we thought he meant it before. But there he is, saying, I'm not going to be with you anymore. Really, I'm going to be with my Father. But if you wait, I will still be with you. Great, physically, brilliant. We'll still hang out. We'll still do all the things we used to do. It'll all be exactly the same. We'll have you here like you are now. There's no reason why you can't keep coming back to us and chatting and sitting beside us and being here physically with us. Jesus says, no, I need to go and be with my Father. Why? Why does Jesus need to be with his Father? He is with his Father on earth just as much as he is in heaven. He has a connection, an intimate connection with the Father. They're able to exchange stuff, as we heard in the gospel reading. They're able to commune and be at peace with one another. Why? Why does he need to be with his Father? It's because God has not finished his work. And the crucifixion, some of us kind of think, well, that's the work that Jesus came to do. This amazing clearing and forgiving of sins, this amazing end to the perpetual need for sacrifice, this beautiful moment of God's sacrificial love for each and every one of us, we kind of think that's enough of a work for Jesus to do. And in when he pronounces it is finished, we kind of go, yeah, that's a big job. Thank you, Jesus. But it's only part of the work. The resurrection, that must be the work. That's an amazing work. To be able to defeat death, to conquer death, that is an amazing task, a big job, a job that the rupturing, as we'll talk about on Trinity Sunday, that the rupturing of the Godhead is brought back together. The overwhelming of death, that is a task. But it's only part of it. Because there is another part to it, where God is wanting humanity, the very flesh, the carbons, the sinews of our very being, he wants to be united with us. Not just in covenant, not just in an agreement that if we obey his laws, he will be our God and we will be his people. Not just in that way, but to be one with us, to be united. And so Jesus must be ascended to take our very flesh, our very humanity, into the heart of God, so that God has a part of humanity as part of him. We are not fully human. In Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus achieves full humanity. Or rather, he articulates full humanity. The only person who has ever been fully human. Human without sin. And that pure humanness, that holy humanness, is now a part of God, intimately woven into him. That is a task worthy of our Saviour. And we say thank you. But not even that is enough. Because now we wait. We wait, at this point, a week, to hear about the beautiful conclusion. The conclusion which is far beyond anything that we can comprehend. It takes in the forgiveness of sins. It takes in the conquering of death. It takes in this unity of God, because God sends himself to be intimately woven into us. Just as we are now part of God, God wants to be part of us. And so he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to work through our sinews and our synapses and all of those things, to bring about transformation. Transformation even on the genetical level. The Holy Spirit dwells within us to bring transformation. Transformation that we cannot manufacture. This, to quote Hamlet, is a consummation devoutly to be wished. That suddenly it is possible to grow into the likeness of Christ and therefore grow into fullness of humanity by that gift of the Holy Spirit that is able to conquer death, that is able to withstand temptation and sin, that is able to transform our very substance, that we can be who God intended us to be. It is a consummation devoutly to be wished. So Jesus must ascend in order to take human flesh into God. He must ascend in order that God will transaction with us his Holy Spirit and give it to each and every one who opens themselves to it. And that is still not quite the end of the story. There is yet more. The story continues through the generations. The story continues, and it doesn't finish with you or with me. We are still telling this story of God's plans of redemption for this world, which will only conclude when His kingdom comes. We have work to do. So just as they stood at the tomb and the men in white robes told them to get on with it, just as they stood and heard Jesus say, get on with it, just as they stood on the hill, Mount Olivet, staring up at the sky, having Jesus said, get on with it, there are these two men in white robes saying, get on with it. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and Peter says to the crowd, get on with it. We are to tell one another, get on with it. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be open to the transformation that God can bring in our lives in order that we can go out and witness to that transformation and bring it to others, that others may receive it, to know it, and to praise God for it. One person at a time, until His kingdom is realized and His kingdom comes. And at that point, Jesus will return in physical form with God Himself and Holy Spirit in full force and establish His kingdom here on earth in the new city where there will be no more pain, no more sin, no more tears or suffering. A consummation devoutly to be wished for each and every person. And so, let's get on with it. There is nothing more to wait for. The Holy Spirit is coming upon us to equip us for this task. Let's tell the story until it reaches its ultimate conclusion. God's kingdom come on earth. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in Him sins are forgiven, death is conquered, and we are united with you. Send your Holy Spirit upon us. That you would dwell with us. That you would change us and equip us for the task of building up your kingdom. In this 10 days of prayer, we pray with all the saints that your kingdom would come. Your will would be done on earth as in heaven. Complete the work that you have started. Help us to take our place within that story to witness and to tell, to create new chapters as we see more and more people turn to you and be transformed. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.